Now, the president and vice president are in Georgia today. This is a planned stop on their national tour to promote parts of the American Rescue Plan for pandemic relief and economic recovery. But they changed plans to meet with Asian American leaders in Atlanta following shootings in the area earlier this week. The single white suspect has been charged with killing 8 people, including 6 women of Asian descent. 2 days ago, President Biden tweeted, "We don't yet know the motive, but what we do know is that the Asian American community is feeling enormous pain tonight. The recent attacks against the community are un-American. They must stop," end quote. Coming up Monday on the show, we'll talk to a UW historian about the history of violence against Asian Americans. Now we take a look at hate crime laws and when and how they're applied. There have been calls to charge this perpetrator and others who have targeted Asian Americans over the last year with hate crimes. Our next guest is a former prosecutor and an expert on hate crimes and what leads to the decision on whether or not to include those charges. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about what is and isn't considered a hate crime and how they're investigated, prosecuted, and punished? And what thoughts do you have about hate crime laws in general? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Cami Chavis is Vice Provost, Professor of Law, and Director of the Criminal Justice Program at Wake Forest University. Cami, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's just start with the basics of what bias-motivated crimes are, I think is a technical term, or hate crime laws. What kind of legal definitions are out there?
Yes, it's really important because when we're talking about hate crimes, or also known as bias-motivated crimes, it's really important to understand that these are going to be statutorily defined crimes. So, and they exist at the state level and the federal level. I will say that most states in the United States have some type of legislation related to hate crimes. Up until this summer, Georgia was one of only 4 states that did not have a hate crimes law. So we do have that in Georgia now. However, there's the federal government does have one as well. We when we're thinking about these bias motivated crimes, it's important to understand that a prosecutor is going to have to prove every element of the crime beyond a reasonable doubt. And one of those elements would be that the perpetrator targeted the victim. They participated in the behavior because of the victim's membership in one of the protected classes. Different statutes enumerate different classes. For example, many states will have race, ethnicity, gender. Some of them also include sexual orientation and gender identity. The federal hate crimes law encompasses all of those categories.
So what kind of evidence would a prosecutor be looking at to be able to make the case that, yes, in fact, this was a bias-motivated crime? What kind of signs, signals are needed there?
Yes. So it's very it's going to be circumstantial in some ways. Of course, if you are, when I say that, I mean it's going to be fact dependent. So there are a number of different behaviors or pieces of evidence. For example, if you are at the scene of a crime, or if you have witnesses and you see that the person has uttered that the perpetrator has uttered some type of racial slur, or they admitted, they said, "I'm doing this because of your membership in this class. I'm doing this because you're Black, or I'm doing this because you're Asian." That would be the strongest piece of evidence, but you don't have to have that. You can also, prosecutors will no doubt, as we think about what's unfolding in Atlanta, no doubt will be going through a suspect's social media, their online account, interviewing other associates, witnesses to the crime, but associates, to figure out, does this person harbor this type of animus? What do we know about this person that might demonstrate why they participated in this particular crime?
Talking to Cami Chavis, a law professor at Wake Forest University, former federal prosecutor, about hate crimes laws after the, in part after the shootings this week in Georgia. I want to give a listen to Atlanta Mayor Akeisha Lance Bottoms, who said publicly she thinks these shootings look like hate crimes. She spoke with CNN's David Axelrod about it. Here, he's just reinforced the suspected perpetrator's statement to law enforcement that he wasn't motivated by race. Acknowledging the motive as we know it so far isn't clear, though. Here's a listen to the Atlanta mayor.
It's not, but also keeping in mind that we're listening to a confessed murderer. So we, you know, have to take it all with a grain of salt. But we can't ignore the fact that there were Asian women who were seem to have been targeted, these Asian massage parlors.
So a couple of things there, Cami. First of all, a prosecutor looking at a suspect's statement that this the suspect himself in this case saying this wasn't racially motivated. How does that stack up as evidence in possible hate crime cases?
Well, I think it's very much like what the mayor said. A lot of times, these suspects will tell you, "Oh, I didn't do it, or I didn't do it because of this." It wouldn't be in his interest to admit that. Even if that were the case, we have, however, you know, in the past, we have seen a lot of suspects do just that. They're, you know, Dylan Roof is one that we can think of that readily admitted that the reason he walked into Mother Emanuel Church, it was to kill the black folks that were worshiping there. And so that only makes a prosecutor's job, that eases the burden, because there you have that piece of evidence, and then they can go and they can collect more. The fact that this person has said, "Oh, that's not why I did it," that's really not dispositive. That's not going to be determinative of whether or not it actually was motivated by bias. You would need to do more of an investigation that might uncover the real motive here.
At the same time, I think there could be cases that we look at and say, okay, this person clearly may have dehumanized in his mind his victims because they were women and they were Asian American. But is that in itself enough to raise hate crime charges if there aren't statements or the other behaviors you talked about from a suspect? Like, so societally, people might agree it's a hate crime. Legally, the standard might not be met.
Yes, that's very true. And I think it's really important here to understand, you know, the distinction, what we're talking about. There have been a number of bias motivated incidents. There's been an increase as of last year. We were at our biggest increase in the past 10 years for bias motivated crimes, and almost 57% of those related to race. And what we've seen is we have seen an increase in the number of bias-motivated crimes against Asians in this country. I think that is we have to recognize that the pandemic and the rhetoric around the pandemic has correlated with that increase, just like we saw an increase in bias-motivated crimes against Muslim Americans or folks who even just appeared to be Muslim Americans after 9/11. So the community, when we're thinking about the type of violence and the context in which that violence happened, it is important. And it's important to note that many of our Asian American or Asians in the United States are feeling on edge anyway because of the increase in those instances. And now with this violence taking place, it's very scary for members of that community.
We're talking about some of the defining characteristics of hate crimes and how they're handled in the American legal system. Our guest is Cami Chavis from Wake Forest University, law professor, former federal prosecutor. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about hate crimes, what they are, how they're enforced? Do you think they're a good idea? Would you like to see them applied more? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Cammie Chavis, professor of law and director of the criminal justice program at Wake Forest University, former federal prosecutor, looking at hate crimes, how laws work, how they are prosecuted. You could join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Cammie, are hate crimes or bias-motivated crimes treated consistently across the United States from jurisdiction to jurisdiction?
No, not at all. There are a number of different states that have hate crimes legislation, and they differ wildly. This was, you know, there's just a patchwork of state laws. Some of the laws will, and these laws, and I should mention that most of them act as penalty enhancers. So, for example, if you commit an assault, maybe you'd normally receive something like 5 years, and then this would be a penalty enhancement and would be statutorily increased by a number of years, and that would be determined by the statute. But the laws really are very different. As I mentioned earlier, some of them some of them are more narrow than others, meaning that they may protect certain categories. You usually will see race, religion, ethnicity, and gender. But then others, they do not have gender identity or sexual orientation as a protected category. And then but many of the laws also do not have any requirements about reporting, hate crimes laws in terms of being able to collect information. So it's very important that, therefore, that we have the federal law that it is broad. It does cover all those categories. And so if a state doesn't have a hate crimes provision, or if they have one but it doesn't cover, for example, gender identity, then the Matthew Shepard James Byrd Hate Crime Preventions Act that was signed into law by President Obama in 2009 can work to fill that, and that's when the federal government can come in and prosecute.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Lynn is with us in Eau Claire. Lynn, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call in. I feel that hate crimes have they've been given permission over the last few years to say it's all right to do them. And this is wrong. That's why it has increased. And I just feel like they need to be prosecuted, and they need to be hit hard. That's my two cents worth.
Lynn, thanks for the call. Is there a thought that prosecuting hate crimes as hate crimes might have a deterrent effect or send kind of a message, as it sounds like Lynn is hoping would happen, Cammie?
Yeah. So, you know, the underlying rationale, the reason why we have these laws in the first place, or the reason that the federal law, which actually was expanded in 2009, the law that I mentioned. But the original law was an outgrowth of the 13th Amendment, you know, meant to rid us of the vestiges and badges of slavery. So we really go back to, a deep racial divide in our country. And these laws, again, the origin is to say, it is not okay to engage in any type of violence, but we also think it is symbolic that we don't want anyone targeted because of their membership in one of these protected classes.
And Cammie, that reminds me, thanks for bringing up the history. My limited understanding of the origins of these kind of laws has to do with, if someone, say, was attacked and or killed for registering black voters in the South say. It isn't just a crime against them. The hate crime would also be the message that other people shouldn't be trying to vote or enroll voters. It's partly the effect on the victim, of course, but also the wider impact on the targeted group. Is part of the motivation behind the hate crime rule?
Yes, absolutely. So when I should also just mention that again, prior to 2009, the federal law, for example, it had a narrow class of protected categories like race and ethnicity, religion, and the victim had to be engaging in one of these federally protected activities like voting or housing or going to school, one of those things. And so in 2009, when that law was expanded, we no longer have that jurisdictional limitation. If you can prove that a person was targeted, by violence because of their membership in one of these classes, that is enough. But the reason for that is, just as you've stated, when this happens, it happens not only to the victim, but that the entire targeted community, it spreads fear. And if you think back to like Reconstruction and all of that, and that's exactly what we had. Domestic terrorists who were what they were, the Ku Klux Klan, KKK, and other groups, and they tried to dominate and instill fear in Black Americans because of their race, and so doing something to one member of the community was a message to everyone else. And so that's what when we think about the symbolism of these laws, that is what they are meant to deter. Everyone, no matter who you are, no one deserves to be targeted because of their race, ethnicity, gender identity, sexual orientation, if we're talking about the federal law.
We're talking about hate crime laws with Cammie Chavis, a former federal prosecutor, now at Wake Forest University's Law School. Back to your calls now. Heather is with us in Madison. Heather, hello.
Hey. I am just kind of distressed by what I hear in this discussion as the entire focus on this one man and this one action. And we are talking about a sex industry that, by and large, is targeting vulnerable women, often minorities. I'd like to see some statistics and information on how many women engaged in the sex trade in Atlanta happen to be of Asian descent. And why aren't we discussing that issue, the fact that these women are being forced into the sex trade by and large? And that's a hate crime. That is targeting people because of their vulnerability, often because of their ethnic background, terrorizing people into being forced into to an illegal sex trade. And we're not talking about that.
Thanks a lot for the call. I think a lot of people are talking about it, and it's not clear that all the victims were involved in the sex trade, Cammie. But to Heather's point, if a particular group of people is vulnerable and exploited in a crime like sex trafficking, does that fall under hate crimes?
Well, yeah, and I think it's really, really important. I know that there have been, varying reports here or there, but as far as I know, there is no indication that any of these particular women, and in fact, we do know that at least a couple of the people that were shot were there visiting. All right, so I don't think it's even fair to the victims to also insinuate that they may have been involved in that. In that trade, although the caller brings up a very good point, in that we do know that that there are many victims in human trafficking, and that is another issue that we have, I think, fully yet to grapple with within our country, is sex trafficking and human trafficking that happens within our own borders. But again, you would have to would it be gender? Would you be able to say that a crime has happened because of someone's gender? And we also know that there are, perhaps not in this context, but there are many victims of human trafficking that are not women. So I think that is probably it is a different issue, but also a very important one to tackle.
In our last minute or so, Cammy, what are you watching for with these this case in Georgia, these horrible shootings, and whether or not they'll be investigated and or prosecuted as hate crimes?
Yes, I have to say that I was very disappointed for the captain who initially came out and said, "Oh, this is just a person, and he had a bad day, and it's not it." You know, it's not a hate crime. And then you also had the FBI director who was who was more measured in his comments, but also said that. And I think that that given the context, it should be investigated as a possible hate crime. There's no indication that it should not. It should be investigated that way. And if the facts don't bear out, then they don't bear out, and the person he would not be able to be charged in that manner. But I think that one thing we need to do when I think about hate crimes is we really need a lot more education. I gave some statistics at the beginning of our conversation, and hate crimes in our country are really underreported. They're underreported, and they are underinvestigated, and they are underenforced. And I think that is particularly true. There's some cultural barriers and things with the Asian American community, and then feeling that they have not had justice, that they are invisible victims. And I think that even the increase we've seen in bias motivated crimes against that community are still even underreported as they are in other groups. So we need more education for our law enforcement officials about looking for the signs that this may be a bias motivated crime. And again, the comments of the sheriff's from the sheriff's office that initially came out, I thought were very premature and really kind of indicated that there needed to be some more.
We'll have to leave it there. That's Cammy Chavis from Wake Forest University. This is Central Time.